We made our way back into the city towards a map marker that belonged to Central Station. The town was settled around one of the old subway stations, according to what information we could glean from the NCR camp. The town itself was relatively simple, with a wall built from old subway cars. Many of the town's buildings were made of panels of steel with metal roofs. The entrance to the station loomed nearby. As we approached the town, two ponies came out to greet us.
"Hold up there!"
One of them, an Earth Pony mare with a purple coat and black mane, said.
"State your business, you alicorn."
I sighed. I should have figured that the town's residents would be averse to having one of my kind around after what happened. I lifted a hoof in greeting.
"Please, we mean you no harm," I said. "My name is Radiant Star, this is Violet Iris, Steeljack and Nixies. We are here seeking information about the creature that attacked you."
"Yeah, I bet you are. Probably scouting out the place to attack us again," the other guard, an Earth Pony Stallion, replied.
I narrowed my gaze at him. Violet chuckled lightly at my side. Nixies and Steeljack hung next to us, grinning as well.
"I give my word as a ministry mare," I said. "No harm shall come to thee while I am amongst you."
"Pfft, the ministry mare? You expect us to believe that?" the stallion said, chuckling.
The mare elbowed him in the chest, stopping him cold. Her eyes were wide.
"Tuck, I think it's her," she said. "Just like on the radio."
The stallion glared at the mare and then squinted at me. His eyes widened as well and he grinned sheepishly.
"Sorry, Miss Ministry Mare," he said, motioning for us to approach the town gate.
We stepped forward and I smiled.
"No problem," I said. "I can understand the tensions are high at the moment with what you've gone through recently."
The two guards chuckled hesitantly.
"Yeah, well, you can go in. Just be careful, all right? Ponies are real hesitant of your kind for obvious reasons," the mayor said. "Just head straight back towards the station. You can see the mayor of the town there."
I nodded and we stepped into the small town. The main part of the village was in pretty bad shape. Ponies were milling about, dragging debris away from destroyed homes. A few of them looked up, taking notice of us. They glared daggers at us as we made our way towards the back of the town. A large subway car sat next to where the entrance to the station was. Curiously, the stairs leading down into the station were blocked off. I stopped near them, glancing down into the darkness.
"Hello there,"
a voice said, pulling my attention away from the stairs. A white Earth Pony Stallion had stepped out of the subway car. He wore a simple suit that accentuated his purple mane.
"Can I help you for?"
Well, my name is Radiant Star and I have a few questions about the attack on your village," I said.
The stallion nodded, still smiling.
"You're not with NCR, are you?"
he said quickly. I shook my head.
"Good, good. I'm the mayor around here. You can call me Dashing Do."
"Dashing Do?"
I asked, cocking an eyebrow. The stallion laughed.
"Don't ask. Parents, you know how it is,"
he said, motioning for us to follow. We made our way over to the old subway car. I looked over at the others.
"Steeljack, Nixies, hang out here. His office is kinda small," I said.
Steeljack nodded silently. The hellhound hunkered down wordlessly. They sat down in front of the car, keeping an eye on the ponies who were rebuilding the town. Many of them were still glaring our way. Dashing opened the door to the car.
"Don't mind them," he said. "They're just a little on edge, what with the attack and all."
"That's actually why I'm here. I was hoping that you would have some more information on the attack," I said.
"Well, all I know is that we were minding our own business when this crazy-looking alicorn just appeared out of nowhere and started slinging spells at our houses,"
Dashing said.
"What did you look like?" Violet asked.
"About her height," the stallion said, motioning to me. "Green coat, black mane, real crazy look in her eyes. Seemed to be talking to herself even. What was weird about the whole thing is that she didn't ever really attack any pony directly or intentionally. It was like she was looking for something, you know?"
I glanced over at Violet, grimacing.
"So what happened after that?" I asked.
"Well, you gotta understand something. We can take care of our own, but we're no steel rangers out here. We hid, of course," Dashing said. After about an hour, though, she just stopped. Hovered there for a while and then flew off somewhere else. We heard on the radio after that about how she had attacked a few other settlements, too. The stallion paused for a moment. Why are you so interested in this?
We're sort of tracking her, I said.
I turned to Violet, ignoring the white stallion for a moment, whispering,
It certainly sounds like it was Spark, but what was you looking for?
I don't know. You told me that the memory op with her had her being trapped into a jewel. Maybe that's what she's looking for? Violet offered quietly.
Maybe, but why would it be here?
I said.
Twilight wouldn't have left something that important in Manhattan. It would have been with her at all times, which would mean Mary Pony.
Yeah, Violet said, returning her attention to dashing.
Look, thank you for seeing us. I think that's what we needed to know. We'll get out of your hair now.
Thank you kindly, darlings, the stallion said. It was my pleasure. As long as you're not NCR, I'm always happy to see peaceful new faces around town.
What do you have against the NCR?
I asked curiously. My assignment to broker some form of treaty between the NCR and the Twilight Society still sat in the back of my mind. The stallion chuckled.
Let's just say I don't care much for any pony coming in and telling me how to run my town, he said. The NCR say they care, but they really don't. They just want to impose their own rule. I don't want that. I just want to live, eat and laugh.
I nodded, standing.
Well, thank you again for your time,
I said, pushing open the door and exiting the subway car. My thoughts were even more confused concerning the NCR. I couldn't decide whether Kirby had lied to me about helping the refugees or not. I had certainly seen refugees outside of Camp Hope, but there wasn't any NCR presence here that I could see. I glanced around town. Many of the ponies were still watching us out of the corner of their eyes as they went about their business. Steeljack and Nixie stood off to the side of the mayor's car, waiting for us.
Everything all right? Steeljack said.
Yeah, let's get out of here and get back to Ten Pony, I said. Spark isn't here. We should focus on finding her now.
The Earth Pony nodded. We started to walk back towards the town gate when a soft pink Earth Pony mare came running up to us.
I thought I was wrong, but it really is you, isn't it?
She said, huffing.
You're the ministry mare, aren't you?
I am, I said. The mare latched onto me with her forelegs.
Hey, personal space, I thought.
The mare looked up at me, tears in her eyes.
Please, I need your help. It's my daughter. She's trapped down in the tunnels of the subway station. No pony can free her,
she said, blubbering.
Hold up, calm down, I said softly. Start from the beginning. My name is Fizzy Crunch, the mayor said. When that thing attacked us, a bunch of us went down into the tunnels to hide. My daughter and I got separated in the chaos. Then these weird-looking things appeared. We ran and the tunnels collapsed from the chaos above. My daughter was stuck in one of them. I'm not even sure if she's still alive, but if there's a chance, I have to know.
Is that why the station is cordoned off? I said. The mayor nodded.
Why hasn't any pony tried to rescue her? A group went back down in after the attacks ended, but whatever those things down there were, they didn't return,
Frizzy said.
After that, no pony else wanted to go in there. Please, you're the only pony I can think of who could help me.
I narrowed my gaze at the mare.
All right, I said. We'll do it.
I glanced over at Violet.
Violet, you and Steeljack will take point up here. See what you two can do for the townsfolk. Nixies and I will go down and see if we can find this filly. Nixies digging will help us get around down there if there's any debris.
Are you sure, Star? Violet said. I nodded, looking over at Fizzy Crunch.
I can't in my right mind let a mother go without knowing what happened to her filly, I said. Besides, if no pony else is going to help this town, we will.
Violet grinned.
Fizzy, show us to the station entrance.
The mare nodded, motioning to us to follow her. I looked over at Nixie's. The hellhound smiled toothily.
Let's go plumb the depths of the ancient subway station, then,
I said, a matching grin appearing on my face. Spark was one thing, but a nice clean rescue was just what the doctor ordered.
I stepped down into the darkness, pushing open the metal gate leading down into the subway station. Nixie slumbered beside me, cautiously glancing from side to side. The gate creaked open, and I half expected there to be something waiting for me right around the first corner. I was, quite frankly, disappointed when there wasn't. The subway station was dark, the only light coming from a few flaming trash cans situated across a platform. Four tunnels spread out in each direction from the central platform. I grimaced. Fizzy's story hadn't really given us a whole lot of information on where her daughter had been seen last.
"Well, I guess we'd better start with one of these tunnels," I said.
Nixie nodded in agreement. We made our way towards a far tunnel. The stench of death surrounded us. It seemed the inhabitants of the town above hadn't really done a whole lot to clean up around the station. Charred skeletons of long-dead ponies littered the area, remnants of the Balefire explosion that had destroyed Manhattan. We stepped into the dark tunnel, grimacing at the debris littering the tracks. An overturned car sat in the middle of the tunnel. We edged around it carefully, keeping an eye out for anything out of the ordinary. Nothing. I glanced at my EFS, checking for hostile targets. Nothing. I thought.
If there's anything down here, where are they? If it were ghouls, they'd have heard us by now.
I unlatched Stargazer from its harness, floating it into the air beside me. I lit my horn, sending up a spark. The soft purple light illuminated the tunnel in front of us. The track dipped into a steady slope, descending down into the murky depths. A second tunnel jutted off from the side of the main tunnel. It appeared to be some sort of maintenance access. Further down the tunnel, pieces of the ceiling had collapsed inwards, creating a bridge to the other side of the debris.
"I'm not picking up anything on my EFS," I said quietly. "Can you smell anything?"
"Just rot," Nixie's replied. "I don't see anything either. Do you think whatever was down here just left, like Spark did?"
"I don't know, but I'm not willing to lower my guard to find out," I said. "Keep sharp. Let's head over into the other side of this tunnel. Maybe it will lead us to the Philly."
Nixie nodded, lumbering behind me as we made our way through the mess of rubble and down onto the sloping track. A blinding map marker came up on my EFS. I checked the automap, a marker stating Subway Station Maintenance Office. It was located in a side tunnel just up the tunnel. I sighed.
"Might as well check it out," I thought.
I motioned at Nixie's to follow me. The maintenance door was locked. I snarled under my breath, reaching out with my magic and ripping the door from its hinges. A set of stairs leading up into the offices lay just beyond it. I trotted up them.
"Well, if the door was locked, there's probably no pony here," I thought. "Why was there a map marker then?"
I pushed open the door to the maintenance office, grimacing at the smell inside. A few rat roaches skittered about the room. They screeched as they saw us, running to hide in the corner. A terminal sat on the far side of the room on a desk. It was still glowing. There was no other doors that I could see.
"Well, this is a dead end," I said flatly. "Great, let's try one of the other tunnels."
I started to turn around when I heard something laughing. It was coming from inside the room. The terminal screen lit up, a pair of mismatched yellow eyes appearing on the display. The keyboard turned into a crude smile, the keys forming a sinister fang.
"Discord,"
I said, my eyes widening. The terminal suddenly sprouted a pair of tiny wings, lifting into the air. It flapped around the room, the keyboard still hanging off of it by its cable. The keys were still arranged in that silly smile. Cackling erupted from the thing.
"What's that?"
"Star," a voice said from beside me.
A paw placed itself on my shoulder, shaking me. I turned, seeing Nixie standing there.
"Star, are you all right?"
I looked back at where the terminal was. It was back in its normal place, devoid of any wings, eyes, or a smile. I blinked.
"What the fuck was that?"
I thought.
"Star?"
"Sorry, thought I saw something," I said. "Let's go down to the other tunnel."
The hellhound nodded and I followed him out of the room. My mind couldn't get itself off what I had just seen. What was going on? Was Discord simply fucking with me? I'd seen several visions so far of the deity, and each one was extremely disturbing. I didn't know what to do. We made our way back up the tunnel, pushing aside debris and rubble as we approached the station platform. There was still nothing on my EFS, and we hadn't heard hide nor hair of any filly. I was getting worried that the filly was no longer alive. I pointed towards another tunnel, and we began to trudge down it. The track in this section of the subway had been torn all to hell. Several large holes littered the ground. We stepped lightly past them. At the far end of the tunnel, most of it had collapsed in, blocking passage. I grimaced until I noticed a blip come up onto my EFS. It was dead ahead. I trotted forward, inspecting the debris.
"Hello?"
I called out. A whimpering noise could be heard just beyond the collapsed portion of the tunnel.
"Is any pony there?"
Hello?
A tiny voice called out in the darkness. My heart soared at the prospect that the filly was alive.
"Are you hurt?"
I asked loudly.
I'm trapped back here,"
the voice responded.
"Who are you?" "We're here to get you out of here, sweetie. You stay right there. We'll find a way to get to you."
I turned back to Nixies, who was peering down the tunnel intently. I started to say something, but he raised a claw to silence me.
"Something's wrong. We're being followed," he said quietly.
I narrowed my gaze down the tunnel, following where the hellhound was looking. Nothing.
"Are you sure?"
I said. The hellhound nodded, his lips curling into a snarl. One of the holes nearby began to shudder, and something strange crawled out of it. A soft glow came off of the creature's scaly skin as it levered itself to its feet. Its eyes were an unholy green, and a snake-like tongue rolled out of its mouth, which was lined with sharp, pointy teeth. Its claws were massive and barbed at the tips. It glared at us, opening its maw and growling loudly. My eyes widened.
"What the fuck?"
The monster pulled itself out of its hole and started lumbering towards us. Nixie leapt forward, slicing into the creature with his vicious claws. Blood sprayed from its shoulder, but that didn't stop the beast from grabbing onto Nixie's and attempting to snap and bite with its jaws. The hellhound struggled with the creature, tumbling over and rolling into a ball of fury and claws. A hissing noise from behind me told me all I needed to know about these beasts. There was more than one of them. I jumped to the side, unlatching Stargazer from its harness as another of the creatures slashed down where I had been. It snarled loudly at me.
"Eat this!"
I said, dropping into ESATS. I queued up several shots at the creature and let the spell drop. Time sped back into motion as Stargazer took aim and unleashed its payload, slamming into the monstrosity's chest. Green blood exploded from where the bullets hit. That didn't slow the creature, unfortunately. It charged, roaring as its claws found purchase on my shoulder. I howled in pain, lifting Stargazer and using it as a battering ram right into the thing's face. It fell backwards, its face caved in from my strike. It gurgled for a few moments and then stopped moving.
"Nixies, are you all right?"
I shouted to the darkness. The hellhound roared in response.
"I'm fine,"
he called, grunting as he lifted himself off the ground. The monster he had been fighting lay on the ground below him, ripped to shreds. He was huffing loudly, clearly out of breath.
"What the hell were those things?"
I said, breathing just as hard. I glanced down at my shoulder. It was red with my own blood.
"They came out of the ground."
"I have never seen such creatures personally," Nixie said. "Maybe these are the things that the mayor was warning us about."
The hellhound noticed my injury.
"Are you okay? Your shoulder?"
"I'll be okay,"
I said, floating out a healing potion and downing it. Within moments, the wounds on my shoulder began to stitch back up and I let out a sigh.
"We should keep moving. If those things can tunnel their way through the ground, they can get to that filly. And that's something I'm not about to let happen."
Nixie's nodded.
"I can hear the child still through the rock. She's scared, but alive,"
he said. He put a paw up to the tunnel wall.
"Unfortunately, I don't think I can dig through the rubble to get her. Doing so could damage the structural integrity of the tunnel, and that could bring down everything, including the town above."
"Let's try to avoid that if at all possible, please,"
I said, motioning down one of the side tunnels.
Well, let's see if we can find a way around to the other side. There's gotta be another tunnel that can take us over there.
I stopped for a moment and called out again to the filly.
Stay there and stay hidden in case those things come around, sweetie. We're going to try and find a way around to you. Okay.
The tiny voice came from beyond the rubble. I set a map marker on my pipback of where we were and nodded, turning away and following after Nixie's. As we made our way down into the next tunnel, I felt that we were being watched. A gurgling noise confirmed my suspicions as another one of the creepy glowing creatures erupted out of the ground in front of us. It pulled itself out of its hole, roaring as it slashed out with its claws. Nixie's met it head-on, blocking its strike with his own razor-sharp appendages. The hellhound struck back, knocking the abomination to the ground. Its brains spilled out of its head, glowing bright green as they stained the tunnel floor. Several more hissing and gurgling noises came from behind us. I glanced back, seeing four of the strange monstrosities.
"Nixies, I think we better run,"
I said. The hellhound snarled under his breath, but nodded all the same. I turned on the spot and began to canter forward. Nixies followed behind as we tried to not trip over the debris littering the tunnel. The hissing from behind us got louder as more of the monsters popped up from the holes that we passed. I urged my legs forward, moving into a swift gallop. Nixies had moved beside me, pushing himself just as hard as I was. A soft light from ahead indicated that the tunnel opened up into a larger area. We burst out of the tunnel opening, coming into what appeared to be another subway station. My eyes widened as I stopped dead in my tracks. The station was abandoned and decrepit, but not without life. Hundreds of the tunnel monsters littered the old station. They were everywhere, climbing along the walls and crawling across a platform. In the distance, the stairs leading up to the outside world were completely collapsed, preventing any escape. I grimaced as Nixies came up beside me.
"Oh," he said quietly. "Not good."
The hissing noises from behind us stopped abruptly as the entire station looked right at us. Every creature regarded us with an intense curiosity, their tongues slithering in and out of their toothy maws. I blinked, my eyes widening.
"Not good," I said, my heart pounding in my chest. "Not good, not good, not good, not good."
I turned around. The group that had been following us was blocking the entrance back to the other tunnel.
Star, what now?"
Nixie said hesitantly. I narrowed my eyes at the creatures. Many of the ones on the station platform had started approaching us. I looked to my right. On the other side of the platform was another tunnel. There weren't any creatures near it at all, which was strange.
"Close your eyes and get ready to run to the tunnel on the right,"
I said, igniting my horn. I reached deep inside, searching for some sort of offensive spell that could help us. With a grin, I released my magic, creating a flash of light so bright that everything in the vicinity had to look away.
"Run now!"
I shouted as I veered to the right, averting my eyes from the blast. My hoofs pounded onto the concrete over the platform and down into the tunnel. My heart raced and I could hear it pumping loudly as adrenaline fueled every step. After several moments, I could only hear the sounds of my own hoofs and Nixie's paws. I slowed down, stopping and looking back down the tunnel. It was empty. There weren't even any holes in this tunnel.
"They're not following us," Nixie said. "That doesn't make any sense. Why aren't they following us?"
"I don't know,"
I said breathlessly.
"But I'm not about to hope for the worst. I just hope we haven't gone too, of course."
Nixies put his claw to the ground, grimacing.
"I can't hear anything in the vicinity through the rock," he said. "Not even those creatures. It's weird. It's like they're attuned to it or something."
"I bet Sparks Attack dislodged something in one of the tunnels," I said. "Probably freed these things from wherever they came from."
I glanced back down the tunnel we came from and shuddered. I hoped this way had a way out. I had no desire to go back through those monsters again. I pointed in the other direction.
"Let's go. Hopefully we can find the filly and get the hell out of here."
Nixies nodded, falling into a calm lope beside me. We walked along for several feet before the hellhound broke the silence.
"A thought occurred to me, Star. I've told you much about myself, but I don't really know all that much about you other than what I've witnessed and heard on the radio," he said quietly.
I chuckled softly.
Not much to tell, really, I said. You know as well as I do what happened at Merry Pony. I was there after all.
Yes, I was part of the Hellhounds that migrated from old Olney to Ponyville, the Hellhound mused. But what about before? Don't you remember anything from before?
I shook my head. Nope, not really. It's all a bit of a blur. Nothing really comes into focus whenever I try to think about it, I said. It wasn't until after Unity that I remember anything. I didn't even have a cutie mark after Unity.
I sighed, remembering the cutie marks that I had lost to the Twilight transformation. How long had it been since I had seen it?
Really? I was under the impression your kind didn't have cutie marks,
Nixie said. I shrugged.
I guess when we returned to our own minds, we pretty much became grown-up blank flanks, I said. I found that I had a real talent for stargazing of all things. It's what I got as my cutie mark. I felt proud of it.
Stargazing?
Nixis replied, curling his lips into a grin.
You?
Shut up, I said playfully. Just because I'm not that bright doesn't mean I don't enjoy something simple. I kind of miss it, to be honest. I haven't done it seriously since all this crazy shit started. The transformation spell took my cutie mark and mixed my memories with Twilight.
The tunnel we were in seemed to go on forever. I swore that it would never end. A thought came to my mind suddenly.
Nixies, I just had an epiphany, I think.
And what, pray tell, is that?
Nixies asked.
If those things didn't want to come down this tunnel, then what's down this tunnel?
I said quietly. Nixies grimaced. The answer to my question came all too soon. A roar sounded from down the tunnel, followed by the sound of something striking stone. It sounded completely inequine.
Shit, out of the frying pan and into the fire,
I thought. A side tunnel jutted out from the main tunnel in an intersection ahead of us. I motioned to Nixies as we ducked down it to the left. We sat there for several moments, pressing ourselves against the wall. Then I saw it. A hulking mass of fur and muscles strode by in the darkness. Its eyes gleamed a dead silver in the gloom. Each footfall it took made a thunderous sound. It stopped at the intersection and began to sniff the air around it. I cringed, pressing myself back as hard as I could, hoping and praying to Luna that the thing wouldn't see us. It sat there for several long minutes, sniffing and growling. Finally, it turned down the intersection and started into the other tunnel. Within several more moments, it had disappeared. Only the telltale sounds of its massive paws were left behind. I breathed a sigh of relief as I dropped to my haunches.
What was that?
I said, shaking.
This place is crazy. I'm never coming down into a subway ever again.
It looked like a Yao Guai, Nixie said quietly. But down in the subway and that big, unheard of.
Yao Guai?
I asked. Nixies nodded.
Mutated black bears, he said. Very vicious. I'm surprised that he didn't see us. They're very well known for their sense of smell and sight in the dark.
Don't look a gift pony in the mouth, Nixies, I said. Let's get moving. I do not want to be around for that thing to decide it wants to come back.
The hellhound nodded quietly in response and we made our way back into the main tunnel. The blinking map marker I had set was thankfully pointed in the direction we were walking. We moved as quickly as we could, dodging the rubble and debris scattered along the track. Eventually, the tunnel opened up into a substation that looked like it had been used for repairs. It was lit by several half-working emergency lights, providing a soft ambience to the station. The tunnels on the opposite side from us ran directly into a collapsed section. My heart soared, however, when I saw a small cream-colored filly sitting next to the rubble. She looked up, her eyes lighting up with joy. She stood, trotting over to us.
Are you all right, little one?
I asked. The filly nodded.
Yeah, I'm fine,
she said confidently. I smiled. For such a small filly, she was showing remarkable bravery.
We had feared the worst. Your mother is very worried, I said. What is your name, little one?
Fizzy Pop, the filly said. What's yours?
I'm Radiant Star, and this is my friend Nixies. He's going to help us dig our way out of here,
I said, motioning to the hellhound. Nixie smiled, calling back as many teas as he could. The filly didn't even bat an eye.
Tough kid, I thought. Now then, are you ready to get out of here?
Sure, I just need to say bye to Harry,
the filly said. I stared at her blankly.
Who's Harry?
I asked. The filly chuckled, pointing a hoof past us. I glanced behind me and nearly jumped out of my skin. Standing on the substation platform was a Yao Guai from earlier. Now that I could see the thing in better light, I was far more frightened. The monster easily stood taller than me, even on four legs. I also noticed that it hadn't moved yet. It was just standing there.
Sweetie, stay back behind us. When I tell you to run, you...
The filly didn't listen, pushing past me and running towards the giant bear. I called out, but it was too late. The Yagui sniffed the air and made a low rumbling noise as the filly got closer. Fizzy Pop wrapped her forelegs around the great beast's neck, giggling. The bear did nothing, absolutely nothing whatsoever, at least to the filly. He sniffed the air again, growling in our direction.
Oh, you silly Billy, they're here to get me home to my mummy,
Fizzy Pop said.
They're okay?
The bear grumbled, seeming to look down at the filly. It nodded once in response. I blinked.
What?
I said flatly. Now I had seen it all. If tunneling monstrosities hadn't done it, a filly snuggling a giant mutated son of a motherfucking bear almost certainly took the cake. I nearly fainted right then and there. I stopped for a moment, studying the beast.
Star, do you see?
Nixie said, pointing. I followed his gaze to the beast's eyes. It was no wonder I had seen them gleam earlier. The beast was blind. I blinked.
Harry doesn't see too well, but he knows you're there,
Fizzy said.
When I got trapped down here, he saved me from those freaky-looking monsters. He's been keeping me safe. This place is his house.
I chanced a step forward. A low growl elicited from the bear.
Calm down, I said softly. We're not here to hurt you or the filly. We just want to take her home. Get her away from the monsters. Can you understand me?
The bear growled in response, but nodded.
Good. Do you maybe know a safe way out of here? Or, at the very least, a route that takes us to another station we can dig ourselves out of?
The bear shook its head.
Darn, one could hope,
I thought, grimacing.
Star, the other tunnel here isn't nearly as bad,
Nixie said, inspecting the collapsed section of tunnel.
I don't know where it leads, but I should be able to dig here if I'm careful.
I nodded.
Start digging then, I said. I will watch and keep an eye out for any problems.
The hellhound turned towards the rubble and began to slice through it like it was butter. He grunted, picking up stone after stone and tossing it to the side as he worked. I kept a wary eye on both the bear and the tunnel. The bear was nuzzling the filly as she laughed and giggled with him. The tunnel was empty. A little too empty and a little too quiet. I stepped down onto the track, listening intently.
What's wrong?
Fizzy Pop said, noticing that I had stopped. Harry, too, was watching the tunnel. I grimaced.
You can feel it too, can't you?
I said to the bear. It nodded.
Those monsters, they're coming, all of them. Nixies, how much longer?
I'm working as hard as I can, Nixies replied. If I go any faster, I could bring down this part of the structure.
I blinked.
That's it, I said.
I looked over the filly.
Fizzy, get onto Harry's back. We're gonna have to make a break for it as soon as Nixies can punch through to the other side, I said.
The filly nodded and lifted herself onto the bear's massive neck. Harry growled in agreement.
Nixies, do what you have to do, but make a big enough opening that we can collapse it once we get to the other side. We cannot leave that open.
The hellhound saluted and returned to his work with an intense fervor, ripping into rock and stone and rebar. The tunnel sat quiet. I cocked my ear, hearing the sound first. Hundreds of hissing, gurgling monstrosities were coming up the tunnel. I grimaced, taking aim with Stargazer and letting loose a torrent of fire down the dark tunnel. I heard yelps of pain and snarling from the ones that I must have hit. The substation shuddered suddenly.
Let's go, Nixie shouted. Get onto the other side. This thing is going to come down any minute.
I nodded, turning on the spot and running towards the Hellhound's makeshift tunnel. Harry bounded in front of me, squeezing in just behind the canine. The tunnel lurched and some debris began to fall. Hissing and snarling and snapping sounded from behind me. I didn't even turn to see what I knew already to be there. The tunnel began to start collapsing just as I reached it. I howled, firing up my horn and unleashing my magic into a teleportation spell appearing right in my line of sight in front of Nixie's. As I did, the tunnel collapsed completely, the roar of falling debris filling my ears. I coughed at the dust that kicked up from the rubble.
"Miss Star, are you okay?"
the filly shouted, bounding down from the giant bear's neck. I smiled. She was safe.
"Yeah, I'm all right. We are all right. Let's get you out of here, sweetie,"
I said. I groaned, shoving another piece of rubble out of my way of the ruined stairs. Nixie's worked beside me, tossing rocks and stone to the side as we finally broke through to the metal gate leading back into the wasteland. I pushed it open with my magic, sighing as I felt the sun on me. I took a deep breath and looked behind me. The Yagwai and Fizzy Pop were walking up the cleared stairs, the filly blinking as she looked at us.
"All right, everyone," I said. "Let's figure out where we are."
I turned on the automap and checked the map marker for Central Station. Thankfully, we were only about an hour away to the west. I sighed.
"Looks like we've got a bit of a walk, but we're safe for the moment. I'm gonna get to see Mama,"
the filly shouted happily. Her expression turned to a sour one.
"But where's Harry gonna go?"
I raised an eyebrow.
"Harry should do fine," I said. "He's a mighty scary Yagwai. I doubt anyone would want to mess with him."
I glanced over at the bear. He was sniffing the air. He bayed into the wind happily.
"It looks like he has found something worth pursuing," Nixie said.
The filly nodded sadly, running up to where the bear was standing.
"I love you, Harry. Thank you for saving me. Be good now,"
she said, planting a kiss on the Yagwai's cheek. Harry grunted and took off, disappearing into the ruins of the city. I smiled.
"I think you made yourself a lifelong friend, little one,"
I said.
"Now come, you can ride on my back until we get back home."
We started along the path, keeping an eye out for anything dangerous. Thankfully, our journey was short-lived and we found ourselves trotting into Central Station. The townspeople looked up, seeing the filly. A cry of joy erupted from the crowd as Violet, Steeljack, and Fizzy Crunch came storming towards us. The mother picked up her filly and cried as she hugged her close. She looked up at me, tears spilling out of her eyes.
"Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you,"
she said.
"I thought I'd never see her again." "Mama, I miss you,"
Fizzy Pop said.
"Oh, I missed you too, darling,"
the elder mare said, pulling her filly close.
"Are you all right? Are you hurt?" "No, Mama, I had help. Miss Ty and Nixie's and Harry saved me,"
she said. Violet looked up at me, blinking.
"Who's Harry?"
she said. I glanced over at Nixie's.
"Don't ask,"
I said, chuckling.
"Come on, let's get back to Ten Pony. I need a long shower and we need to check on Patch."
Violet grinned, nodding.
"All right, why don't we ask Harry to come along too?"
she asked teasingly. I blinked. She was making fun of me.
"I'll have you know, Harry was a very nice bear,"
I said, turning to make my way out of the town. Violet giggled.
"Sure he was," she said.
We started walking but stopped when a voice called out behind us.
"Miss Star, Miss Star,"
Fizzy Pop yelled. I stopped and craned my neck back.
"Yes, little one, what is it?"
I asked. Fizzy Pop reached into her bag and produced a spherical object. She held it into the air.
"The mismatched one told me to give you this," she said.
I blinked. It was a memory orb.
"The mismatched one?"
I said.
"What do you mean?"
The filly shrugged.
"He just said you'd know what it meant," she said.
She went bounding off as I collected the memory orb, placing it into my saddlebags. I narrowed my gaze after the filly.
"Discard,"
I thought.
"What is your game already? First, I'm seeing fucked up visions of you, now you're leaving me more memory orbs. Did you plan for that filly to be stuck down in those tunnels? Or did it just suit you because you knew I couldn't resist helping?"
"Star?" Violet asked.
Everything all right? I don't know, Violet, I said softly. I'm not sure what's going on right now, but I aim to get to the bottom of it. Discord wants me for something, and I want to know what.
I started walking as the others followed. I was going to get to the bottom of things. Within several hours we made it back to Ten Pony Tower. Night was starting to fall and the guards were waving the last of the travelers entering the tower in for the night. I decided that Duskblue could wait and instead wanted to know what was going on with Patch. We took the elevator and headed up to our suit. I pushed open the door, seeing the Green Mare herself along with Lilith. They were sitting on the old couch in the middle of the room, listening to the radio. They both looked up as we entered.
You're back, Lilith said.
I nodded silently. Patch looked, well, for the most part she looked like hell. I guessed that she'd been crying. I was not happy at that prospect. Did that mean the foal was gone? I didn't want to say anything first, preferring to let her tell us at her own pace. Lilith smiled softly, placing a hoof on her friend's shoulder. Patch forced a smile.
Hi, she said. Sorry, I'm just really tired. Long day and all. Agreed, I said, chuckling softly.
Patch smiled again.
I saw the doctors, she said. And?
I ventured to ask, preparing myself to engulf the young mare in the most spine-crushing hug ever based on her answer.
Well, they don't know what's going on, actually, she said, sighing.
I blinked.
What?
I thought angrily.
What do you mean they don't know?
Patch must have seen the vein in my forehead because she waved a hoof to calm me down.
Sorry, that was a little dramatic, I guess. Basically, the results were inconclusive. They do know the foal is not gone, but they don't know anything about what is there either.
So what did they say? Violet said, sitting down across from the mare as Steeljack rested his other hoof on his love's other shoulder. Nixies carefully placed himself against the wall as he watched.
There's a doctor in the city. He's supposed to know everything there is to know about this kind of thing. His name is Dryrod. Well, that's what it is now. He's a ghoul,
Patch said.
The doctor I saw said that he's helped them out numerous times with unusual pregnancies. Where is this Dryrod?
I asked. Lilith smiled brightly at this. She lifted a crudely drawn map of the city, showing an X.
He lives in a settlement called Duskhoof, she said. It's below ground under the old Ministry of Peace Hub. It would make sense, since he's a doctor and all.
Sounds like a ghoul town, Steeljack said, glancing over at me. Whatcha thinking? Go and visit him?
I nodded.
Tomorrow, I said. We had a dead end here with Spark. If this doctor can help us with Patch, then I want her to see him.
Patch shuddered a bit.
Hopefully he's not like a grass ghoul, she said.
I chuckled.
What about Spark?
Lilith said.
Did you find anything out?
I shook my head.
All we know is that she was looking for something. I assume that since she didn't find it is why she has moved on to Everfree, I said. After we leave Manhattan, that will be our next destination. Hopefully we can catch up with her before she does whatever it is she's planning to do.
And the NCR? Violet said. What are we going to do about them? I grimaced.
The NCR and the Twilight Society are going to need to work out a compromise. I figure if I can get Duskblue and Kirby in the same room talking, then there won't be any need for us to hang around, I said.
Patch's eye lit up at the mentioning of the name.
Did you say Kirby?
She said. I smiled.
Sure did, I said. But he's a captain now. He wanted me to tell you hi for him. Said he misses you. Captain? Wow, I knew Kirby was good, but captain is pretty impressive,
the Green Mare replied.
If he's at the helm of this, I'm sure you can get him to cooperate. Maybe I can put a good word in or something.
I chuckled.
Let's just focus on one thing at a time, I said. I'm going to speak with Duskblue in the morning about all of this and tell him our intentions. You know, we also didn't even see Sunshine Sky. I wonder if she came back to the tower.
I shrugged.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm rather tired and in need of sleep.
Psh,
you just want to go and look at that memory orb that the filly gave you,
Violet said, grinning.
Filly? Memory orb? Lilith said. What kind of trouble did you get yourself into this time? The kind of trouble where we never speak of it again, I said.
Violet laughed.
Oh, come on, tell them about Harry, she said.
I glared at the mare with death in my eyes.
Who is Harry?
Patch said. I groaned.
Harry's a bear, I replied. Just a bear.
An imaginary bear, Violet sing-songed.
He was quite real, Nixis interjected.
Violet snickered, turning into full-fledged laughter.
Oh, that's hilarious,
she chortled in between breaths. Nixis grimaced. He did not look amused by this. Violet rolled her eyes.
Sorry, okay, you win. Harry was a bear who was real. There, you two happy now?
Quite, I said, standing and grinning widely. I grabbed my bags and trotted to where our bed was. Violet rolled her eyes once more and bid her good nights to the others. Steeljack wrapped his forelegs around Patch on the couch, staying there with her as Lilith made her way to her own bed. I smiled softly at the two Earth ponies, remembering what Steeljack had told me before about his promise. I had no doubt in my mind that he wasn't going to keep it. Violet slumped next to me, cozing up close as I removed the memory orb from my back. I spun it about on my hoofs, sighing.
So what do you think is it this time? Oh, maybe you'll get lucky and it'll be Twilight having sex, Violet joked. Not exactly the image I was going for there, Violet, I said, grinning. Granted, that'd be a fair shade better than what they've been. I still don't get it, though. Why? Why is he leaving me these orbs? What does he want me to see?
I can't answer that, Star, Violet said quietly.
We'd have to go to the source for that, and unfortunately he seems to be missing in action.
I nodded.
Well, only one way to find out what the hell is going on in this thing, I said, lighting my horn.
I grabbed onto the orb and dove in, feeling the world slide away in a flash of white. My host groaned, a chill breeze blowing across her coat. Her eyes were closed, but I knew exactly who I was. Twilight was second, third, and fourth nature by now. The mare stirred, coming out of her sleep and opening her eyes. My host's vision came into focus, and I heard beeping from beside her head. The soft white walls of a hospital room appeared. My host looked up towards the window. Outside, the spires of Canterlot rose. It was then that I realized that my host also wasn't alone. Five mares sat on a bench along the wall. They were resting peacefully. My host smiled softly as she sat up, ruffling her sheets. Rainbow Dash was awake immediately, the chromatic mare at my host's side in a flash.
"Twilight!" she said.
I could tell by her face that she'd been crying.
Are you okay?
My host coughed.
Water,
Twilight croaked. Rainbow Dash nodded intensely, zipping across the hospital room to the sink. She pulled out a cup and filled it, returning it to the bedridden mare. My host took the cup with her hoofs and began to drink slowly. She set the cup down and looked down at her sides. Her sides were bandaged heavily, red stains bleeding through from below. Twilight sighed and looked up at Rainbow Dash.
How long was I out?
Several days,
Dash replied.
We were worried sick about you.
I seem to recall that a little differently the last time we spoke,
my host snorted. Dash turned away.
Twi, come on, don't be like that. We love you and we always will, you know that. You scared us, you know.
Dash said shakily. She was barely holding on.
I mean, we thought you tried to kill yourself, you know that?
Twilight reached out with a hoof, setting it on Rainbow's shoulder.
I'm sorry, I didn't know, she said. Dash, I don't know what to say.
Just promise you won't ever do anything like that ever again,
Dash said solemnly.
Promise me.
I promise,
Twilight said. Dash sighed.
I believe you, Twi,
the chromatic mare said.
Can I get you anything else?
No, I think I'll be all right.
My host replied.
I just need to get some rest, I think. The others, they're still asleep?
Dash nodded.
Do you want to talk to them at all?
Rainbow said. My host looked over at the others, still slumbering on the bench.
No, there will be time enough for that later, she said.
Right now I just want to rest.
Dash nodded as my host rested her head back onto the pillow. She closed her eyes. I almost expected the memory to end, but it didn't. Instead, the scene shifted. Twilight was still in the hospital room, but now she was alone. Twilight grunted as she pushed herself into a sitting position. A knock at the door gave her pause.
Twilight?
A soft voice called from the other side.
May I come in? Yes, it's fine.
Twilight called back. The door opened, revealing a regal white alicorn. Princess Celestia stood tall as she entered the room, but even I could tell she was just masking her emotions. Celestia sat down next to the bed and looked Twilight directly in the eye.
And how are you feeling today, my faithful student?
She asked. Twilight chuckled softly.
Please, you know I haven't been that for a long time, she said. You'll always be my faithful student, Twilight, you know that.
Celestia chided gently.
Busy, Twilight said. Very busy. My absence is causing the ministry to go insane. It's like they can't do anything without me. And to boot, I've got a meeting with Trixie at the end of the week. I believe I asked about you, Twilight, not your ministry, Celestia said.
Twilight averted her gaze from her one-time mentor.
Sorry, princess, my host said. You can call me Celestia, you know. Just because you're a ministry mayor doesn't cheapen the bond we share as friends,
the alicorn said. Twilight sighed.
Sorry, Celestia, she said, chuckling. I'm feeling all right. Pain's gone down a lot since I woke up. I had a visit from your sister earlier today. Yes, I'm afraid we aren't on speaking terms at the moment, Celestia said. You know how I feel about the war and all. I am pleased to see that you are well, however. I don't know. It's okay, Celestia, Twilight said, interrupting her. I know. Were you successful in your task?
Celestia said, her expression turning deathly serious. My host simply nodded.
And the item we discussed, it's been buried in the old castle ruins. It will stay there for eternity. Good, my host said. Celestia, what do we do now?
Now?
Now we live, my faithful student. We do our best and we share the magic of friendship with each other,
the regal alicorn said.
But Spark,
Twilight started to say. Celestia lifted a hoof.
Spark is where she needs to be. Her place is with the elements, she said.
Twilight sighed but nodded.
You're right, she said.
Celestia smiled and stood.
I'm afraid I must now take my leave of you, my faithful student. I wish you well in a speedy recovery, she said.
Twilight smiled, bowing her head.
Thank you,
she said as Celestia left the room. Twilight let out a sigh and laid her head back onto her pillow.
Oh, what a touching scene,
a deep voice said from within the room.
Student and princess reunited in the bonds of friendship. Gag me with a stick.
Twilight sat up, seeing two yellow mismatched eyes appear in mid-air. The eyeballs appeared to be the bodies of giant bees. They buzzed around the room, landing on two flowers that had mysteriously grown on the hospital room floor. The ground turned to dirt and a mismatched aberration of animal parts climbed out. The bees, that were its eyes, zipped around the room and landed back in its head. Discord grinned a cruel grin, his eyes gleaming.
Discord, Twilight said. What do you want?
What do I want? You're asking me, the god of chaos, what I want?
Discord said. He grinned, snapping his fingers. A throne of snakes appeared next to him, rising and slithering about. Discord reclined back in the makeshift throne.
You know, I really don't know. That's the beauty of it, isn't it? Me, the god of chaos, knowing what I want? That's almost as funny as Looney Luna with glasses.
Twilight groaned.
I've got to get some rest, Discord. Why don't you go see Pinkie Pie or something?
She said. Discord shrugged.
The element of laughter isn't quite as much fun anymore. You and I both know that. Not since she started doing those nasty little mints she loves so much,
the deity said.
No, I want something more important from you, Twilight Sparkle.
His voice turned venomous.
I know what you did last summer.
What?
Twilight said, cocking her head in confusion. Discord cackled wildly.
Sorry, I meant to say the other night. I have no idea where the other thing came from. Maybe I saw it in a movie?
He said.
Don't you love it when your mouse just runs away with you?
As if on cue, the mouth on his face popped off and grew legs, running around the hospital room. Discord's eyes widened as he flew after it, grabbing onto the runaway mouse. He popped it back onto his face.
I didn't mean literally, sheesh.
What do you know? Twilight said angrily. I could tell she was getting upset.
I know what you did to the elements, Twilight. Even one such as I could never do something so cruel.
Discord sneered.
You and your little friend Spark, you piqued my interest.
So, what are you going to do about it?
Twilight snarled.
Tell every pony. Try it and I'll make sure that you're sealed back up in stone for it.
Threats, Twilight Sparkle. My, this war really has gotten to you, hasn't it?
Discord said, chuckling.
Do not assume to presume my attentions, Sparkle. I'm a god, after all, beyond the scope for your mortal understanding.
Spit it out already, Discord. What is it that you want?
Twilight said. She was on edge now. Discord merely laughed in response.
What I always want, my dear, a good show. That, and I want your power, of course. The power you so carelessly threw away to seal old Sparky,
he said.
With power like yours, I wouldn't have to pretend that I'm reformed after all. I'd be invincible.
He waved his hand and snapped his fingers. The throne of snakes disappeared in a flash.
All you have to do is be willing to give it to me.
You monster, my host said. I would never...
Never what? Be careful before you finish that thought, Twilight Sparkle. You no longer have the element of magic connected to you. So I would watch what you say to me.
Discord said, grinning widely.
You see, being the god of chaos and all, I know something that you don't. This little war of yours, it's coming to an end. But it won't be the end that you're expecting.
What do you mean? Twilight said. Once I get IMP up and running, we'll be well on our way to winning the war.
Discord snorted.
Yes, well, what I'm talking about is a slightly different end, of course. Spoilers, my dear Twilight Sparkle, but since I'm the god of chaos, I can bend those rules slightly and tell you one little easy-weensy tiny secret.
He said, coming in close to the purple mare. She stayed silent, glaring at him. Discord's eyes blazed with joy.
What's the matter, Sparkle? Cat got your tongue?
He stuck his tongue out at Twilight, a gray stripy kitten clinging to the end of it. The kitten flapped as Discord blew a raspberry at Twilight. The mayor of the Ministry of Magic frowned.
Tell me,
Twilight said angrily. Discord came closer until he was whispering in my host's ear.
You are going to die alone, Twilight Sparkle, he said. Sad but true. But that's not all, no. Tell her what she's won, Johnny.
The Draconicus motioned over to the wall where another Discord appeared. He was wearing a flashy suit with a slicked back black toupee. A microphone was held in his claws.
Well, Discord, our plucky young survivor here has won on all expenses paid trip to the afterlife. Yes, that's right, the afterlife. She'll enjoy beautiful spas and unending hellish torment for the rest of her pitiful existence,
the second Discord said. The first Discord cackled wildly.
Thanks, Johnny. You can go now,
he said, pulling on a cord out of the ceiling. The second Discord fell through a trap door, screaming.
You see, Twilight Sparkle, I know how this is all going to end. And I need a little insurance. I need you. The power you sealed away was the element of magic. All you need to do is tell me where it is.
If you're so great and powerful, then why don't you find it yourself?
Twilight spat.
Forget it, I'm not helping you.
Discord glared at her and sighed.
Fine, it was worth a shot. I suppose that we'll be seeing each other again, Princess Twilight,
he said.
I dare say that I'm looking forward to it.
The Draconicus snapped his fingers and disappeared in a flash of bright light. I blinked. I half expected the memory to end after this, but it didn't. Instead, it seemed to turn gray and grainy. I was jerked out of Twilight's mind and into darkness. The scene before me had turned into a film reel displayed on an invisible surface.
Who's there?
I called out. A cackling erupted in the void around me. I narrowed my gaze as the film playing in front of me burst into flames, disappearing with a cackle and a pop.
"Hello again, Radiant Star,"
a voice said from the darkness. I growled.
"Discord,"
I said. Two blazing brilliant orbs appeared in the void. They expanded until they were as large as bowling balls. The massive head of the Draconicus shimmered into existence behind them. A cruel grin was brought forth from the deity of chaos as he regarded me.
"Yes. Did you enjoy my little messages? I know I did,"
he said, his snake-like tongue slithering out of his mouth.
"What do you want? How are you even doing this?"
I asked. The spirit cackled madly.
"I'm the spirit of chaos and disharmony. I can do whatever I so desire, within limits, of course. Even chaos has a little order. It's more unpredictable that way,"
Discord countered. I grimaced.
"I've missed you, little star. Have you missed me?"
"Why are you following me, Discord? Why leave the memory orbs?"
I said.
"Because I wanted you to see,"
the spirit spoke honestly.
"I wanted you to see the lengths that Twilight went to, what you did to the elements, why, who, what, when, where, how. You know that old song and dance."
"All I saw was you threatening to take her power away,"
I said angrily. Discord laughed heartily, shaking as he doubled over. He floated back into the air and grinned evilly.
"And yet, my little star, she threatened me back. Does it tell you something? It certainly told me all I needed to know at the time," he said. "I told you before that I play the long game, and now I'm making my move."
A massive chessboard suddenly appeared between us. The pieces on my side were me and my friends. The other side consisted solely of tiny discords. His pieces were animated, howling and laughing and jumping about.
"There's a storm coming, Star. A great big storm of chaos, and there's nothing you can do about it."
"Try it, Discord. I'll make you eat your words,"
I said. Discord put a paw to his chin for a moment.
"Eat my words, dear me, really?"
he said. In the air beside him appeared the words, "Eat my words." Discord plunged a fork out of nowhere into them, devouring them.
Tastes sort of like chicken."
"By the goddess, can't you ever be serious about something?"
I shouted angrily.
"I have no time to deal with you, Discord. Spark is out there and I have to stop her."
"Spark is the least of your concerns, Radiant Star,"
Discord said, turning deathly serious in his expression.
"You see, you and I are going to play a little game of chess. My way. I've made my first move. Now it's your turn. I'm in the city somewhere. It's your job to find me. Do so, and the next stage of the game begins. But I warn you, Radiant Star, run. Run, and I will hunt you down, and then, well, I will not be so forgiving."
The spirit of chaos floated into the air before me, growing into magnanimous proportions.
"Now I'll leave you with a little parting gift. Ciao, Radiant Star."
A window appeared, looking into a cell. Sitting inside was a pink unicorn, chained to the floor. She struggled, crying out for help.
"Sunshine Sky?"
I sought frantically. The window disappeared, poofing into nothingness.
"Discord!"
I roared as the entire world faded into white, plunging me back into the world of the living. Footnotes: Radiant Star, maximum level. Violet Iris, level up. Steeljack, level up. Patch, level up. Lilith, level up. Narrator's note. I don't know if you have noticed during this chapter, at least during the second half of it, my voice has started to fail me again. What the hell? Either it's winter, or there's really something wrong with my vocal cords here. I mean, back in the day I recorded do you remember chapter 14 of Through the Eyes of Another Pony? I recorded chapter 13 and 14 on one day. That was like over 6 hours of recording and I wasn't this hoarse after it. What I wanted to say about this chapter, and I really mean it, there are, in the last few chapters especially, there are a few things that could have been cut out entirely. Like the things Rainbow Dash gives her the cup. Twilight takes the cup. Twilight drinks. Twilight sets the cup down. This is just info dumps. This is stuff that could have really been left out and would have made the chapter nonetheless enjoyable. I think that Walrus XP is in this last few chapters trying to, I don't know. I don't know if he's doing it for the word count or whatever, but there are things in here that could be cut out. Also the wording sometimes. Here at the end with, wait a second. Magnanimous proportions. Growing to magnanimous proportions. Couldn't he just written, I don't know, gigantic proportions? Something like that. Or growing, immensely? Something like that. Not a word that is... I've read many fanfictions and it's the first time I've read the word magnanimous. At least as far as I remember. Okay, leaving you on that note, hoping that my voice will recover until tomorrow. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.